Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Accomplish Radio. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the CEO and founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference happening on September 10th through the 12th in Dallas, Texas. We have been so blessed to have had hundreds of listeners already to our show. And if you're new to it, thanks for joining us. We're excited to have you here today and to listen to this upcoming episode where we get up close and personal with people from all over the world that have accomplished great things. Today's guest is a gentleman that I had the privilege of meeting quite a few years ago, just by chance. He came into my city and was training a lot of new coaches that he brought in. His name is Benham Bakshenday, and he is a dynamic author, speaker, executive coach, and trainer with more than 16 years of hands-on experience working with individuals and organizations. He's known among his friends, family, and clients to be a patient, compassionate, and no-nonsense individual who loves to make a difference in all aspects of his life as well as the lives of others. In his career, Benham has personally worked with more than 50,000 participants. He is an accomplished business manager and business development professional known for producing extraordinary results in record time. He is passionate, and he's a visionary leader who produces results. Benham founded his own transformational technology and coaching business in 2001. Since then, he and his team members have helped countless businesses and tens of thousands of individuals achieve their goals and transform their thinking to a much more effective way that allows them to have access to fulfillment, success, and peace of mind. Recently, he traveled to St. Louis, where I had a chance to reconnect and see him again. He has just come out with his new book, Conspiracy for Greatness, Mastery of Love Within. Welcome to our show today, Benham.
Thank you, darling. How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. We're going to have a great conversation today, and I'm so excited about all of the accomplishments that you've had, and I know our audience is eager to learn more about you. So I'm just going to start asking you some questions, and we'll just have a great conversation today. Is that okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about, is there one particular accomplishment that you feel has transformed your life, because now you're looking back at the other side of success. You've reached a level of, you know, very few people have been able to achieve with building an empire, basically what you've done. And then, you know, you're able to write about it afterwards. So is there some kind of accomplishment that just really shines for you that you want to share with us?
Sure, absolutely. Wow, accomplishment. You know, actually, my view of accomplishment has transformed also. Before, you know, years ago, like any ambitious young man, I thought accomplishment is having millions of dollars in your account or owning a lot of properties or possessions. And I did that, and then it comes to point of, okay, what was the point of all this? Am I still happy? Am I having a fulfilling relationship with my children, with my family, with my spouse, with my clients? Am I happy? And the question was, not yet. You know, I always call it like a carrot and a donkey. The donkey always tries to get to the carrot that is hanging in front of his neck with a stick, and we never get to that. And I call, to answer your question directly, I call my accomplishment coming, my most precious accomplishment, coming to the point that my three children and my life partners, Cindy's three children, they talk to me. We have a relationship. We talk about issues. There is a depth in my relationship with my family members, with my clients. I have a very healthy relationship with my ex-wife, you know. That makes me happy. To me, that is the most accomplishment I got in life, that have peace of mind. peace of mind is something that almost everyone wish for, even if they don't know what is their wish for. But when you get to that peace and contentment, there is nothing, you cannot put a price on it. So my training and development that brought me to this point, I would say, is my most precious accomplishment.
Wow. That's fantastic. And, you know, sometimes when people are trying to accomplish their goals and achieve great things in their life, they may not even realize what some of the other precious accomplishments that they already have. And, you know, obviously our family and, you know, things that mean the most to us that we treasure and cherish, those tend to be our most valuable assets in life and absolutely our biggest accomplishments. But, yeah. You know, I think that what I see in you, you have an ability to inspire other people. And, you know, you and I, even though you don't know me personally, I feel like I've known you from a distance, in a sense. And, you know, hopefully you and I will get a chance to become closer friends. I know that we are, we're getting there now, actually, with just our conversation today. And so relationships for me and for you tend to be what takes us closer to where we're going. Am
yes.
I right?
Yes. You know, if you look at the world, you see world is full of millionaires who they're unhappy. How do you see they are unhappy? By seeing the breakdowns, by seeing the drug and alcohol abuse, unproductive and destructive behaviors. That would bring us to that point I'm talking about. If one defines oneself just by possession and money and look, that will end soon. But if one defines oneself by the vision, the passion, the direction in life they go, that never ends. And I am very grateful for your comment. And my life is full of people like you, who are standing for the same thing. I don't call people friends just because to be polite. I call people friends who they are willing to stand for me and point to me the things that doesn't work about me, and they're willing to receive it from me also. That's what I call true friends. The rest is associate, people we know, people we hang out. So one of the accomplishments, another accomplishment in life for me is I surrender myself to many people I call friends, and they're all standing for me, and they let me contribute to them, they contribute to me, and no bars friendship, loving each other to the limit, respecting each other to the limit, and it's all come from that vision that I have in my life. That was a day that I was working just to pay the bills. I'm sure a lot of your audience listening to this, they can identify themselves in that. Just working hard to pay the bills. Nothing bad about that. It's honorable. You take care of your family. You take care of your business. You take care of yourself. But at the end of the day, you're tired. You're going home and nothing left from you. That is what I decide. I don't want to have my life to be about. To just pay bills, just to watch kids grow. Then what? So I create a vision for myself that pull me forward, actually. And that is life fulfilled, passion, joy, and laughter expressed, inspired by people's success, having fun, and creating abundance. I put that in front of me like a pool, like a magnet, living my future today. And that is actually the essence of my book, Conspiracy for Greatness, because we always do conspire for smallness. We always look for reasons why we cannot do something. We always come with the explanation why something cannot be done. Well, the other side of the same coin is, let's come with the idea of how could we get done? But that comes from the engine called ourselves. Everything is start from self. That's why I call it mastery of love within. When we come to the point of loving ourselves that way, and creating a vision for our life, and make sure that vision is fulfilled, then we have to conspire for greatness. Then we have to have friends, like you mentioned, you and I, become friends, conspire for each other's greatness, conspire, put our ideas together, how could we put that greatness on others? How could we teach? You know, when I heard you have a conference every year for that aspect, I was so proud of you. Great. Now somebody have a business conference that want to inspire people to do better. It's all great. I'm so excited about it. I am very passionate about this topic. That's why it's give me life. It just gives me life every day.
I love your energy. I mean, there's something just so magnetic about your personality and what you're motivated all the time, and you have, there's something when someone can go within and really search for greatness, and I feel like there's no coincidences that you and I were able to reconnect again, because I look back and I think it was probably 2000, I'm trying to think when you opened your St. Louis office, but yeah, so it's been years that you made an impact and an impression on me back then. And actually, you know, I went on a complete journey of doing a lot of coaching, because that's, you know, a very important aspect that I'm not sure that everybody truly embraces that. I absolutely adore coaches, and they bring so much value and insights. And do you want to share a little bit about PrimeCo?
Absolutely. PrimeCo Education is the name of my company. And before we get to that, I would like to mention something about what you said about my energy. You know, in terms of my age, I'm 53. I see a lot of people in my age that they look older and look more tired and kind of sitting home and doing nothing. And I told my kids, I'm a 25 years old stuck in this 53-year-old body. I want to play, and that all come from I have seen the other side of life. I've been through suffering. I've been through a lot of hardship in life before I come to United States. When I came to United States, I had no money. I had $100 in my pocket. That's all I had. And I was not speaking a word of English. And now I'm, for the last 16 years, speaking and writing English is my main income for life. So when I saw the other side, that I'm about to lose my life in a split second. So after that, every moment of life is so precious. I have a reality check, very strong reality, that this life of mine is not a test drive. This is it. Every day, this is it. What about if I'm not here tomorrow? What about if I lose you tomorrow? How am I going to relate to you between today and tomorrow that I might lose you? Is it worth fighting with you? Is it worth not loving you? Is it worth not expressing myself to you? Absolutely not. So I give every family member, every friend, every client, whatever I got, because what about if I lose them tomorrow? What about if I'm not be here tomorrow? That policy actually working for me very great, because every day I sleep like a baby knowing I have nothing unsent to anyone. So I create this coaching company around this concept that people be fulfilled, happy, satisfied in life. It's not going to be easy. I'm telling you, going through the coaching is hard work. Nothing going to happen overnight. I tell people, you messed up your mind and soul and heart for 40 years and you want me to fix it in 4 hours? It's not going to happen. So PrimeCo Education is a visionary organization built on the foundation of integrity, excellence, and service to taking care of our clients. We work on the individual level with people. We work on the couples level, like a family level. We work on business level and a corporate level also. And the public level, like the seminars that you attend in the Center for Spiritual Living that sponsor us in San Luis, that was something we do publicly. I am very proud of the company. We operate all over the United States, and we just play with people, get to know people, loving people, and standing for them. Like a coach, like a tough coach that conspires for your greatness. And that is something I'm very proud of. I'm very passionate about.
I love that. And, you know, when I went through the, I think I was a part of your train the trainers or coach the coaches or something when you guys were first beginning here. And it was a great experience for me. And I think I've gone my entire life, honestly, Benham, as just I feel like I'm in school all the time. I love to learn. It's, in fact, it's one of my top five strengths. I share that with a lot of my friends that, you know, I love the whole, you know, strength finders and working with your strengths. And I know that learning is something that I will always enjoy and passing on that knowledge. And I hope that a lot of people in the audience, you know, always look for the answers and expand, you know, every bit of themselves, whether it's reading or attending workshops or, you know, going through coaching sessions.
Yes.
You do have to do the work, right? There is, you know, we don't just wake up all of a sudden being this great individual. We're molded and shaped into that depending on where we, you know, allow ourselves to learn and to go in.
Absolutely. I always quote Mark Twain, one of the greatest writers, American writer, that he said, "I never let my schooling interfere with my education." You know, schooling is something; education is a whole different thing. You know, I'm very well schooled, but during my schooling, nobody taught me how to become effective in a certain situation. How to be patient when somebody is upset. How to be. That is, nobody can teach you. You can read a lot of things. You can exercise a lot of things. But until you get within yourself and see who you have been while you're doing what you're doing, there is no effectiveness. When I got who I've been was angry man, upset man, very committed to be right and be right about my own position, then I realized there is ineffectiveness. Then I realized I can be right, but I'm always alone. I can be right, but I'm always ineffective. I can be right, but people don't want to be around me. When I give up being right, suddenly everything opens up. When I give up that I am a victim of my circumstances, because I was being a victim. You know, you see people being victims. Left and right. You talk to people, they're always blaming something or someone or somehow that these things happen to them. Versus taking personal responsibility of how their life turned out the way it turned out. And as soon as you can get to that point, it's amazing the freedom that comes with it. And you are absolutely right. It's not easy, but it's doable. I see it every day, people doing it, but it needs commitment. It needs that desire to be more than what you think you can be. It's, I don't know how to explain it in words, but that burning desire inside one, you said, maybe I can be different to having different results in life. And the people who take on this concept, mostly they come through it with the hard work, dedication, and commitment, and their life is altering. It's changing. It's amazing.
You know, these radio shows that I keep conducting and listening to, all these just powerful people that have been there, done that, and even some of those that are still working on accomplishing more, or they've, I think that there is a series of progression and just different stages of what we accomplish. And, you know, I see accomplishment all around us, and that's why I love to bring, you know, that into the spotlight. I like to feature individuals at all different levels of where they are in their personal life, their business, and, you know, learning. I'm starting to actually hear some common threads between, you know, some of these shows that I'm doing. And I have to say that I'm getting a lot of the reward and benefit from listening to each one of you every time I get a chance to be on the show together with you. And what a great honor it is to be here with you and to listen to you. I think that you share, it's just incredible. It's almost like you're saying words that people absolutely need to hear. You're sharing stories and parts of you that hit home for a lot of people. And, you know, we have to endure a lot of the struggle, the challenges. And, you know, actually one of the questions I always ask is, you know, what was an obstacle or a challenge that you may have faced in your journey here throughout everything that you've created? You know, what was something that you could have, you know, thrown in the towel and said, you know what, I'm done, I can't do this? Was there a point in your life that you said, you know, enough's enough, I'm going to take this challenge no matter what it is?
Well, obstacles. I went through a lot of obstacles in life. I think my biggest obstacle about building this business, and that was a time, several times that I said I'm going to quit this, was the mere fact of that I'm born and raised in the Middle East. I'm born and raised in Iran. Obviously, you can hear my accent. I think
I hadn't
I'm.
Noticed.
Well, I always say as a joke, darling, I never had an accent before I came here. I came
Sorry,
to the airport.
I didn't mean to take you off track there.
Bam, I had an accent. So what I'm saying is, just speaking to people with my broken English, and my English obviously was not as well as it is today, 15 years ago, it was challenging. You know, unfortunately, some people are ignorant, make belittling remarks, make condescending remarks, putting down my nationality or my accent, or even in some cases, my color of my skin. I never took it personally. I cannot say never, but it was so rare that I take it personally. But that was a time that became a little bit of a challenge for me. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I trying to make a difference for someone who's not even respecting me just because I have an accent or broken English? But then it comes to realization of, again, I become right. Now I'm right, but I am victim of lack of education of someone else. Then I saw I'm become right about they are bad and wrong, and I am victim. Like, each time I have to remind myself, there is no victim here, it's just volunteers. If I let them put me down, then I'm down. You know, I think our First Lady Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt, said, nobody can make you feel inferior except you, without your permission. So that was a point of breakthrough for me, that I have a message to deliver. There is something I can deliver to this person who putting me down that would literally transform their life if they get to know me as a person who they afraid. Because believe me, anybody who do remarks on you to put you down is because they're afraid of you, or they're afraid of loving you, or they're afraid of understanding you. Because if they give you chance to love and understand you, then they have to be responsible for the power they possess for loving people. And that's scary. It's scary, but it's very good. So when I actually stood for these people and literally transformed the relationship to the rest of the world, most of them become very, very loyal clients of mine, or some, in some cases, my friends, because I took them out of the dark and showed them the light, showed them the world is bigger than this city you live in, or this state that you live in, or this country you live in, or this continent that you live in. World is 6.3 billion people. It's not just black, white, red, blue. It's not American, Persian, Middle East, this and that. This is not Christian, Jewish, Muslim things. It's a human thing. The concept of being has no limitation to race, nationality, religion, or age. When we get our connection together as a human being, there's nothing there but loving. Because we're all born with that loving ability within us. And then we forget it. I had a gentleman who apologized to me. He said, my prejudice come from grandfather. I don't even know why I'm prejudiced. I don't even know why I'm saying what I'm saying against different races. It's just born into it. They don't even know. And the world is full of this kind of separations, prejudice, that people even don't know why they're doing it. That it was one of my biggest challenges. A couple of times I got offended and I thought, you know, I'm going to throw the towel and I'm going to do something else. But I realized I'm giving up, and giving up is not my vision. My vision is to inspire by people's success, having fun, and creating abundance. And that's what I do.
That's wonderful. You know, I'm sitting here in front of your book. I'm holding it. And might I add, this is one massive book. I mean, I'm holding this going, gosh, all your, you know, there's over 400 pages, I believe, to this book. So it's very consistent, and it's a workbook, it looks, as well.
It is a workbook, yes.
And let's talk about this for a few minutes, because I am very excited to get into this book and to go through the whole, it's like your entire coaching program in my hands, in a sense. And Conspiracy for Greatness, you know, at the bottom it says, how to access an extraordinary life. And I am so drawn to this, I can't tell you what this means. So let's talk a little bit about the book.
Yeah, this book is based on our basic life coaching. When we're working with the individuals, we have different layers of our life coaching: basics, advanced, and masteries. And this is our basic coaching from point A, that somebody hired me to coach them in life, till we create a vision for them in their life, and all the practices is in this book. It's a very intimate book. It means it's simple. It's contains a lot of my personal life experiences. I share my life with people to make a point that if I went through this and I came out of it this way, so it's possible for you also. There is a lot of working in the book. It's a personal book. I always tell people, don't buy it and say, I'm going to just lend it to my sister to read it also. Buy one copy for your sister too, because each chapter have areas that you need to write down your understandings, your insights, what you find out about yourself. And that's make it very personal and very intimate. And if you write them down in each section, then the book work together. All of these notes have to come to different sections of the book, and you write them down, and then you have to write practices, you have to write promises, you have to say who you're going to share with, who you're going to apologize to, who you're going to clean up with. There's a lot of process in the book, because I believe knowledge by itself makes no difference. Whoever said knowledge is power lied to you. Implementation of knowledge is power. Just knowing something by itself makes no difference. Knowing smoking will make you sick. It would not stop you from smoking. Knowing drinking and driving, you put your life and life of others in danger. And even if you don't kill anyone, you might get a ticket for driving under influence. You're going to destroy your record. Do not stop people doing it every day, isn't it? Knowing it makes no difference. So practices that I put in the book and design in the book that actually bring the knowledge that you saw about yourself to series of practices, actual physical universe practices, that would make a difference, that insight and that realization become real in one's life. And that is a commitment to have a conspiracy for greatness. Literally, you have to be tough. Literally, you have to clean up your life. You have to get rid of some people in your life. You have to get rid of some practices in life. You got to let go of your attachment to some things to have that greatness be there for you. And that's all come from love within. Actually, if you notice, darling, in the cover of the book, I quote from Rumi, the Sufi master, a quote in the cover said, your task is not to seek love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. We all have barriers we build against loving ourselves. When we get moved at barriers, then we can love others. And that loving oneself and fulfilling the dreams and coming to that contentment, coming from owning our own evil, owning our own darkness. We all have this light and the dark come together. I always said there is no good people out there, nor there is bad people out there. There is just people out there. And we all have good and bad come together. We all have generous and stingy come together. We all have beautiful and ugly come together. Which one you playing today? It's up to you and I. you understand? It's like the basket gets in front of us to decide, you know what, I'm going to be jealous today. Or I'm going to be stingy today. Or I'm going to be generous today. When you are aware of yourself, then you can choose powerfully. And I have not yet seen a decent person, when they're aware, choose ugliness. Usually we are not aware when we choose jealousy. Let me correct myself. When we are not aware, actually jealousy, envy, and stinginess choosing us. We become the slave to them. Versus when we are aware, then we can choose however we want to be. I hope I explained it a bit, because it's hard to explain the whole process within, you know, within a radio show call. But it's something I'm very proud, and actually I am finishing my second book called Anatomy of Upset, and that I'm planning to publish it in the middle of 2011. So we'll talk about that later.
Absolutely. I would love to have you back on the show. You know, I just opened the book just to a random page, just for kicks, and I'm looking at a diagram, and I wonder if you could share a little bit or expand a little bit more on this. But it has the triangle in the middle, and at each point on the triangle, you have a circle. Yes. And so on the inside, it says, what is the world for you? And then you also have the circles around it that says, what you are for yourself, who yes. others are for you, and what you do is for you. Okay. And, you know, looking at that, it says a lot, but yet I like the way you keep even put in there different places that will give you peace of mind or make you more effective or produce, you know, productivity. Can you share more on that?
Absolutely. You're looking at the page 193. On the section of the book called Conspiracy for Suffering, which is, let me see, which chapter is that? It's chapter five, Conspiracy for Suffering. As you see, the way I work in my seminars and my coaching, I use a lot of displays because people can see things better. Like if you're buying your car, if somebody show you the dynamic of the car and how the car works physically, you can be in a better control of that device. Now imagine ourselves, human beings, we are working under certain dynamics also. So I use this place to actually people see that dynamic better. In this chapter, I'm talking about the three relationships that determine our effectiveness in life. From my humbling point of view, there is three relationships that if we understand, we can be more effective in life. One is, how do we relate to ourselves? Who are you for yourself? It means, how do you relating yourself? When you're thinking of yourself, what do you see? When you look at the mirror, who do you see? You see, in a lot of cases, we are not generous to ourselves. We call ourselves ugly, we call ourselves fat, we call ourselves stupid, we call ourselves unworthy, unlovable. We find the reason to not love and respect ourselves. And God help, if somebody make a comment, we're going to use that comment as evidence of what we think of ourselves is correct. I'm not good enough, I cannot do this, this is too hard, nobody going to love me, nobody going to pay attention to me, who wants to hire me, all this internal dialogue going on in our head. And if you notice about ourselves, wherever we go, we carry ourselves with us, right? So we are one person in life that we cannot get rid of. Then the second relationship is, how do we see others? In one of the circles, I said, what others are for you? How do you relate to others? Are they a threat? Are they safe? Are they lovable? Are they respectable? Are they trustable? Do you know your inner dialogue always decides about others all the time? As we go outside the house, sometimes even inside the house, our inner dialogue making a decision about how do we see other people? And wherever you go, here you go, other people. Right now I'm on the phone with other people, with you. You hit the freeway, you are in the middle of other people. You go to work, you're in the middle of other people. You go to grocery store, wherever you go, there are other people. And we run our opinion about them. Are they good enough for us? Are they trustworthy? You know, when we're going to marry people, we make all these decisions as we date them. When we're going to work for people, every day we make a decision about other people. Another thing is the last circle, the last relationship, is relationship to what we do. What you do is for you. We all do things. You are a publisher of a magazine. You interview in radio. I write a book. Somebody write a truck. Somebody do construction. We all do things. But there is a relationship we have with doing. If you notice, 8 out of 10 people, when you ask them about how's what they do, they call it hard. It's too much work. I am tired. I have to go to work all the time. I don't like to work. I have to work. There is a relationship we have to working. So imagine the powerful relationship to oneself, powerful relationship to others, and powerful relationship to working. You become a very effective person. Not effective, not loving, caring relationship to yourself, not loving, caring, trusting relationship to others, and not having an effective relationship and workable and productive relationship to productivity and working, create a world for you. In that triangle, I said, what is the world for you? So we all created a world based off how do we see ourselves, others, and working that make us the world for us be what? Good, bad, fine, fun, scary, or hard. Have you seen people talking about their life? How are you doing? Oh, my God, it's too hard. It's too, economy is this, marriage is that. Some people wake up in the morning and wake up in the world of no possibility. Some people wake up in the world of resignation. They resign about anything is possible. Some people wake up in the world of it's not safe. I have to protect myself. And then some people wake up in a world of full of possibilities. When they realize that relationships. And in the background, that big circle that put effectiveness, peace of mind, and productivity behind that. I mean, everything I explain in the book also, and that display actually representing all the teaching I do in that section. I say having an effective, healthy, productive relationship to oneself, to others, and to concept of working, create a peaceful life and world for you that will determine your peace of mind, your effectiveness, and your productivity.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That is really powerful.
I tried to do that 100 pages chapter to, 5 minutes, but in the book, we use a lot of explanation, a lot of sharing, a lot of details to make it actually more clear.
I think what I'm going to have to do is find a group of people that are interested in doing the book, reading it with me, and going through the program and actually filling in the blanks. I think that would be a lot of fun. And also, sometimes I think it's important that, I know it's important. It always is. It's the accountability factor. And I know in coaching, you really have to be held completely accountable and fully responsible for yourself, your actions, what you say you're going to do, and really kind of stepping into that role of being fully accountable. You want to talk about being accountable for a minute?
Absolutely. Two sections of the book, I'm talking about accountability and responsibility. One is chapter 9, which is totally designated for responsibility, accountability, and integrity. And I said that to the readers, now that you create a vision, now that you create the possibility of your actions, if you do not practice integrity, if you do not practice responsibility or accountability, then literally it's impossible. You cannot do the practices without practicing integrity. You cannot do life without accountability. But in the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, that I call it, We Are in Our Own Ways, I mentioned to a reader in the very first 10 pages, if you are someone who wants to be babysit, if you are someone who have no concept of accountability, and you just want to read some information, this is the book for you. Close the book, go to bookstore, get your money back, because you're wasting your money and wasting your time. Because this book literally is count on your accountability. Without accountability is nothing. Accountability is responsibility before the fact versus after the fact. Accountability is one knows he or she cannot count on oneself. So they're going to hire a coach. They're going to hire somebody who hold them externally accountable to achieve their greatness. I can use the example of the greatest sport men and women in the world that they all have coach, Michael Jordan. When I say basketball, Michael Jordan name is going to pop up for anybody who likes basketball, isn't it? He's a master of basketball. When he was recording the movie Space Jam with Walt Disney, the cartoon movie, he made a contract with Disney that Disney has to build him a full-size basketball court by his trailer and pay the coaches, his coach salary, to his own miss practice. How about that? That is why this guy who's a master is being accountable for his mastery, being accountable for his performance. I mean, nobody gets anywhere great without having a coach, mentor, support to be accountable. Because if you leave us by own devices, what do? We cheat. How you promise yourself, I'm not going to have bacon for 2 months. And then, oh my God, the smell of bacon is so good. promising yourself, I'm not going to have ice cream. Then you walk with your kids in the street, oh my God, look at that cone, it's good. So this is like very fun examples, but you can see, and our audience can actually be judged for themselves, that we make a lot of promises that we break because we are not accountable, because we don't want to be responsible for being accountable. So there's a lot I can say about that, but I really define it and break it down in chapter 9. Start from integrity, went to responsibility, and then went to accountability, which this is three forces that's going to guarantee our vision to become reality, and we have to practice them.
Wow. This has absolutely been just a great time together. I love listening to your stories and to, you know, what you share in your book. And, you know, I wonder if you were to give someone just any type of an advice of where to start, let's say someone has been unconscious most of their life and they're just sort of going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And what if there were someone that didn't even realize that there is more work to be done? I mean, would you have some advice to give to them?
Well, you know, it's different from different people. But if I'm in front of somebody who's not aware and wants to seek awareness but don't know where to start from, I would say start within yourself. Look and ask yourself a couple of questions. For example, I would say ask yourself, if you would be responsible for everything that happened in your life, what would you do instead of versus what you have done? You know, let me bring it to very nuts and bolts of simple life. I'm asking this question from audience who are listening to this radio show. How many of you saw the red flag, the warning signs, when you are dating someone or when you get intimate with them, but you ignore it and you marry them anyway and that red flag become bigger later? A lot of us. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to be accountable for acting on that red flag because we have fear of we're going to be alone. How many of you accept a job that from the beginning you know you're not going to like, but you did it anyway? Now, can you be responsible for your choices? When you be responsible for your choices, there's a freedom, nothing to blame. So I will ask people this simple question or advice. Look and answer the questions to yourself. Why did I do that? Why did I marry this one? Why I work with that one? why I ate anything I feel to, and now I am 100 pounds overweight. Why I smoke when I knew smoking killing me. If the answer is because I want to, because I like to, I think you're still asleep. But if the answer is, I did this to overcome a fear of something, I did this to not be alone, I did this to just say, what I do whatever I want, whenever I want. That is the beginning of awareness, taking responsibility. Because believe me, that gear of being right and gear of internally tell people, don't tell me what to do, that if that is going on in someone's head all the time, they're still asleep and they're still working like a machine, have no control, and the machine has a control over them. But awareness starts from taking responsibility for something. So my advice would be, look at where you are not being responsible. Look at where you ignore red flags that you knew you shouldn't ignore them.
Well, I hope I answered. This is interesting. I'm just sort of thinking out loud here, because a lot of people end up getting married to someone, and just like what you were talking about earlier, that you know their partner, their spouse, doesn't always have the same level of responsibility or, you know, being held accountable. Because, I mean, you can never really find your equal when it comes to that. So there's always a different level of responsibility or being held accountable. Mm-hmm. And how would you, if you were to talk to a couple, for example, and say to them, you know, where can you guys raise the bar and where can you lower the bar? Because I would imagine there probably has to be some compromise on both ends in order for that to, and open communication obviously would be an important piece.
Yes. I work with a lot of couples, Alan, and I always tell them, including myself, that you two, yes, you're married. You two are staying in front of God with 200 guests, and you saying, till death do us apart. Do you know you're lying? Do you know that's a promise that you have no intention to keep? No, really? Till death do us apart?
No, no, my marriage vows were said in Spanish, so.
Now, what I'm saying is, if you look at 70% divorce rate, you know that's a lie. I'm not against marriage. Don't take me wrong. I'm just saying tell the truth. Relationships have a lot of fine prints that nobody even bothered to ask or read, because they're afraid of potential response to the question. But when I work with couples, the first thing is to tell the truth. Really tell the truth. How hard it would be. You know, you heard the truth shall set you free, right? But what they forgot to tell you is at first it would piss you off. Truth is hard to listen to. It's hard to swallow. I tell couples from my point of view, statistically, from my own business I'm talking, ladies, the female clients are way more open to understanding processes, looking at oneself, and unfortunately, the male side, they're less open because they have to be macho, they have to be strong. They taught us, you know, the real man just going to work hard and bring the bacon home, and real man don't cry, and real man don't need to distinguish this and that, just work hard. As you see, when the problem is starting in the marriage, men always say, well, tell me what you want. Tell me what I need to do, I will do it. But that's not enough. I tell my clients, my male clients in the relationship coaching, the light that you see in end of tunnel is not your wife with the lingerie and candlelight. It's a runaway train. Because women decide 2 years before they leave to leave. And we men are so asleep on the wheels that we don't see it. And usually, unfortunately, my male clients come to me after it's almost too late, after the wife or girlfriend or fiance left. So my advice to people who work in a relationship is tell the truth, and the brutal reality is this. If one grows personally in personal development, grow and you do not grow with them, you have a 9 out of 10 chance to that relationship will split. That's reality. That's brutal. But we got to face it. I have not seen, you know, people trying to keep the relationship together with children, with guilt, with mortgage, with more children or more mortgage, just to find a reason to nail that relationship down. And it's not working. It's still splitting. It's still bringing other people to the marriage. Means cheating. Just getting to the point of tell the truth, start communicating what do you need, what you want, both parties. And if you cannot provide it for each other, don't torture each other. But if you can provide it, that ability to provide comes from interest to grow, interest to learn more about oneself and more about others. In so many cases, darling, me and my team, we saved marriages this way. And in so many cases, we enroll them to, if they want a divorce, the divorce with dignity, with the grace, without bringing lawyers in and without being nasty, with love and respect, they can split. But we are not attached to the outcome. We really empower them to have an awareness and make a choice based off their awareness, not based off just feelings. Because the feelings come and go fast. You know, one day you love them, one day you hate them. Which one is true? None of them. But if you be aware and tell the truth, then things can work out. I hope I answer your question.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate the detail. And, you know, this has been just an absolute joy to be here together with you today. And, you know, our time is coming to an end at the end of our show. But I am so grateful that you took time out of your schedule, out of your life, to be here and to talk to our audience and to, you know, have this conversation with me. And I wonder, is there a great place that you would recommend that people go to, you know, to get your book? I assume on your website. Do you want to share what that is and how they can reconnect with you?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for your time, darling. I really appreciate you. You were very generous with me, giving me this time to share my passion with you and your audience. I certainly appreciate that. About where people can get my book, right now is available via website only. It's available in Amazon.com on the Amazon website under Conspiracy for Greatness. It's available in BarnesandNobles.com. It's not available in Barnes & Noble's stores. However, if you have a good relationship with the store and you go there and they will place order for you and bring it to you. If you like to have your autographed copy, then you go to our own website, www.primecoeducation.com, and Primeco is spelled P as Peter, R-I-M-E-C-O education. On our website, in our store, we have audio videos, workshops on relationship, communication, discipline, balancing life, and many other single CDs, double CDs, and DVDs that people can listen or watch as a workshop. And the book is available there. Any order from our own website, it comes with their autograph. Personally, I sign up for them, and we ship them. And that's that.
Fantastic. And I have my autographed copy. I had to make sure that I had you sign it for me because I think that I love hearing from, you know, individuals that put together a book, and I see it as a huge accomplishment. And again, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else that you may want to share with us before we end our show today?
No, I just love people and love to make a difference for them. I am available if anybody wants to contact me. My email is my first name, BEHNAM at francoeducation.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see you again when I'm coming to San Luis, darling. Maybe I'll see you in Dallas based on the schedule that you and I, we can work together. And I'm just grateful to touch people's heart. I'm grateful for somebody giving me an opportunity to spread my message wider. And I'm absolutely grateful. Thank you for your time.
This is wonderful. you're listening to our show today, and if you're new to our show, make sure you do go to AccomplishRadio.com and mark our show as one of your favorites, and it will send you reminders also of when our upcoming shows will be. In fact, our next guest is Dawn Billings. She is the founder of HeartLink Women's Network, which has 140 chapters in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. And Dawn is just an amazing woman. You'll love her to pieces, so I hope that you are able to tune into our show. I'd also like to encourage you to visit AccomplishMagazine.com and pick up your free subscription to Accomplish Magazine. And if you're interested in learning more about the U.S. Small Business Conference, again happening September 10th through 12th in Dallas, Texas, please visit USSmallBusinessConference.com. Again, Benham, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your words of wisdom with us. And I look forward to our continued relationship.
Awesome.
And I'm Darlene Willman, your host of today's show, and I'm wishing you all a lifetime of accomplishments. Thanks for joining us.